greater to the blessing of God. Possibly do this morning for the point of that.
To do any type of thinking about the death and
the rebellion from his son. Yet David, in Psalm 61, he does not retire his heart. David does not reject the healing hand of heaven. Through these 8 verses, David gives us a challenging theme and a challenging idea and truth of how he is serenading himself through sorrow. Serenading himself through sorrow. There are, in this passage of Scripture, I believe this morning, there are 4 distinct principles and ideas that David highlights to us this morning in describing his serenading through sorrow. Not that it might solve our song, but it might strengthen our song. How you and I can muster up a turn with the helping hand of God when it seems like we don't feel like singing and we don't have an answer and we don't have the proper way to respond. We can still sing ourselves through sorrow.
Amen.
Verse number 1 through verse number 2, notice again what the Bible says. Hear my cry, O God, again unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. There are 4 distinct matters that I mentioned to you this morning of how you and I can still sing and have a song in the middle of sorrow. First aspect and the first matter that I want to deal with this morning is that it is a matter of a desired and a captivating audience. David, when he reminds us, David, his superpowers reflected, David uses it in 2 words. He uses his present idea. He says, hear my cry, O God, hear unto my prayer.
Yeah.
That little phrase, my cry, gives the implication of a ringing cry. David is saying it is a creaking or a shrill sound. David, at the very core of his heart, David is thinking about his son. David's thinking about the hell of the kingdom. And David says, oh, God, hear my cry.
Right.
You remember in 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. I don't know what it's like, Brother Adam, the father of child. I can imagine what was going through David's heart, but I have seen loved ones and I have seen people that I care about go through some things that hurt my heart and weigh heavy on my mind. And sometimes, Brother Adam, I don't feel like singing. Matter of fact, if it was based on how I feel, and it'd be hard sometimes to even pray.
No.
That little phrase David uses, I believe it gives the same indication, Brother Tony, that he uses in 2 Samuel 18:33. The Bible says when David had received news of Absalom's death, the Bible says, and the king was much moved. Went up to the chamber over the gate and wept, and he wept and thus said, O my son Absalom, my son Absalom. Would God I would die for this? O Absalom, my son, my son.
No.
These, I'll be honest with you this morning, when I was a little boy, from Troy, my mama had walked out on us and left us. It was easy for church people to tell us what to say and what to do. Things at the church and Friendly Chapel took place, and I'm not saying anything that's not that these people don't know about this morning. I'm sharing my heart to y'all and my family. I'm telling you, my heart is people for preachers to say, preacher, I'd have done this, and preacher, I'd have done that. Can I tell you, it's easy to be calm when it's not through calamity.
That's right.
It's easy for you to tell everybody else to settle down when it's not your storm.
Yeah.
It would have been easy for anybody to tell David how to respond to Absalom's death when it's not their boy.
Yeah.
David said, my son, would to God it had been me.
That's right.
It's just not a matter
If we've looked at this morning, it's just not a matter of desire and habit, of a desire and habit of captivating audience, but David also mentions this. David says it's a matter of distance and condition. Distance and condition. Notice what he says in verse number 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. David mentions here about this matter of distance and condition. David talks about how far he is away from God. We don't know specifically where David might have been. We just speculate, and there is evidence if this was where David been this time. He can think of possibly where David could have been. But the simple truth is, have you ever felt far from God?
Amen.
If you ever felt like when you was in a situation, everybody else had the answer, and you don't have the answer, everybody else knows how to fix your problem, but they can't fix their own, and have you ever felt like that you're looking everywhere, to the left and to the right, and you can't feel God?
Amen.
Feel like you're far from God. You're not even on his radar. The phrase that David uses here, from the end of earth, that little phrase implies the border, the brim, or the brink of.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but there are times in life that it felt like we were straddling the very end of that situation. That it felt like Brother Corey was in which end corner, so to speak. That if one little thing happens one more time, that's it. But what David says, I'm not going to forfeit. David says, I'm not going to fall out of him. David says, I want to follow him. Lead me to the rock. And it's higher than I.
Amen.
Feeling. David says, this is my heart is overwhelmed. It's almost like Brother Tony, the best way I can understand it. It gives the meaning of a shroud. It is the cover of a cloth. It's often referred to as a cloth that covers something to protect it. What's interesting about this shroud, Brother Adam, is they would take this shroud and they would use it for burial sheets. They would use something as grave clothes. And David said, God, it feels like something has died in me.
Amen.
I can feel the shadow hovering. David says, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. I'm thankful that it does not matter how far it may seem that I am. It doesn't matter the condition that I am or the situation that I'm in. I'm thankful that there is a rock that is higher than I.
Strengthen me.
David says, lead me. But Tony, what he said, he says, he surrendered. That's his faith. Lord, I don't know where I can go. There's a rock higher than I. Lead me, oh God, to the rock.
Amen.
But he uses that word rock as his foundation. David is simply getting back to the root of who he is.
Yeah.
One time my family, they were from King Mountain area. Brother told me they had this old plant house that they built on the side of this mountain that the family lived on. And there was an old railroad company that went from mountain to mountain. And they built the house on the rock, golden rock, because that was their foundation. And they used it on Mount Redmond, Brother Adam. They used the front porch, and they used that rock, the front of that rock for the front porch. Didn't have to install no steps, didn't have to install no river. You just slid up the rock and slid back down. That's redneck. David said, I need to get back, Brother Adam. I need to get back to my foundation.
Yes.
Can I tell you, it's amazing how when the little storm comes, the devil gets in your mind, the devil gets in your heart. life if you'd have been preaching better, if you'd have been living better, if you'd have said the right thing, done the right thing, wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
With this new gospel, I appreciate what the brother said this morning about this new stuff coming in, this new stuff creeping in. Can I tell you this morning, it has filtered into our churches where we believe now that if we're not living right, that nothing doesn't happen the way we think it'll happen, that God is judging us, listen, and run on the just and the unjust.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, I'll never shake me, Brother Tony, and don't never shake me from my foundation. One writer said this, this is my heart. If there's anything, that God has done in my heart, it's this, Brother Tony. One writer said this, he said, I've learned, Adam, I've learned to kill the way that throw me up against the rock of me. I've learned to kiss the way that throws me against the rock of me. It's just not a matter of distance and condition. But it's a matter of dwelling and consoling. Notice what he said. For thou hast been my shelter from me. And strong tower from my enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covering of thy wings. Selah. And you can say we'll pray from Adam now as then. Thou hast been. I believe David, when he's looking at everything that God has been for him, and he looks at where it should have been just like Aslam. He should have been like Saul. He should have been like Goliath. He should have been led like these men and these people that should have come contact with him. No, go, God, don't have the rock. David says, thou hast been. David says, I'm fortunate to know that he's been my rock. He's been my rock. I came to bed this morning that he's your rock. You came to bed to me if he's my rock. I can just say you from personal experience. But I am unfortunate to know that he's my rock. And he's my shelter. He's been there to help me in a time of need. Paul writing. Remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15? Paul is writing the first truth of those Corinthian believers. They're discouraged. They need to be strengthened and encouraged. And David, what Paul reminds them, it's in this life only. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all new, most of you. If this is as good as it is, what's the point, Brother Adam? Fortunate. He's my shelter. He's my fortress. David said, thou hast been a shelter for me, a strong tower from the enemy. But I'm interested in what he said in verse number 4. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in thee in the covert of thy wings. Say, well, we know the covert of thy wings. We know that David, this is not the first time that David is using about the shadow of his underneath the wings up to Heavenly Father, how they protect him. What's amazing about verse number 4, but Adam, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. David was not a priest. David had no right going into the tabernacle. David had a longing in his heart to want to be in his presence. David had a longing to want to feel God, to know what it's like. It just had an oasis from all his problems and his struggles.
Amen.
David says, I can't go here, Brother Tony. If I can't go to him, I'm thankful that that tabernacle should come to me. And one day, after a while, I'm glad that this, even though church is an oasis for me, and you, I'm thankful that one day we'll be in that heavenly tabernacle, and there'll be no more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more cancer. We won't have to worry about the burdens of life. We'll be in the tabernacle. He's prepared for us.
Amen.
I don't have to worry about being earthly appointed. Thank God I've been eternally approved to be there in his presence.
Amen.
May not be here. Brother Adam will be there.
Yeah.
I want to give you this in verse 5 to 8 this morning, and I promise you I'll be done. It's also a matter of diligence and continue. Diligence and continue.
Yeah.
How we should serenade the sorrows of life. David focuses on this way. He said, for thou, O God, hast heard my vow. Thou hast given the heads of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and years and many generations. He shall abide before God forever. Over their mercy and truth, which may preserve him. I will send praise unto thy name forever. That I may daily perform my vow. There are five aspects I want to give this morning. How David shows forth God's diligence and a desire to do this. He said, vow, for thou, O God, hast heard my vow. David did pray daily wherever he may be. David said, Lord, you remember. You remember the vow of God that I made for you. God, I promise I'll be submitted. I promise I love you. Promise here. Oh.
Yeah.
But it's also being preached. David said in verse number 5, given to the heads of those
hear
thy name.
Amen.
He has furnished for me a place. It's more than just a plot like you give Abraham. The only thing Abraham took with him was a plot. The great plot. And it's more than just what the Israel may see as a providence of land. Brother Adam, he has promised me, he has furnished me more than just a plot. It's just a promise. He has promised me a person. He has promised me a greater place to go.
Amen.
One preacher said it's amazing that God was saving and I've been honored to him. But it's bigger than one verse 3-7 Peter is writing about and heard. And I believe God has given David through that song and through that star, I believe with all of my heart, God has given David a glimpse of what's to come to the people of God.
Yeah.
Further, David said that that will prolong the king's life in his years and many generations. Making by prolonging the king's life, he would be making something greater by adding than what there already is. And I begin to think about what it must have been for the Chris, for him to take Absalom out of that cradle and think about possibly this is going to be the one that takes over the throne. This is the one, he's a good looking boy, he's got all, everybody likes him, he possibly thinks that this is the one.
Yeah.
And then Absalom rebelled. You look down through the genealogy of Christ, you would almost think that when you would get to a place, it was about to die. But God, through man, he preserved it. As he said later on, through mercy and truth.
That's right.
And I believe David said, even though Absalom can't finish, it ain't going through Absalom. It's all through it by Jesus.
That's right.
Fortify, David says, to make this happen through the mishaps of life. God, you maintain your father. You maintain your purpose in what you want to do. David says this about, if you remember in verse number 5, David says to that, oh God, heard my vows, David, how God has given. But in verse number 8, verse 20 says, so I will sing praise unto thy name forever. That I make David perform my vow. Verse number 5, we have a promise that was given. And verse number 8, we have a promise that's been kept. David could have fell out while he was falling apart, but he followed after in verse number 2. And by the grace of God in verse number 8, the Bible says this, I may daily perform my vow. I don't want to fall out of the heaven, but I want to fall through.
Amen.
I hear preaching from Tony, and it bothers me. It really bothers me. I see the direction the church is going in, and it bothers me. This is my heart, Brother Adam. I hope that they may never say he's a great pastor. They may never say he's a great preacher. They can never say I'm a great son. They can never say I'm a great person ever. Brother Adam, I do hope they can say he was faithful.
Amen.
He was faithful. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to get sour from the sorrow that I face. I don't want you to get sour from the sorrow that you face. But I do want to learn how to stay stronger through my sorrow.
Amen.
Serenading through sorrow. One of my favorite writers, our pastor, Brother Tony, turn me on to him when I was a young preacher. This pastor made this statement. God uses broken things.
Yes.
It takes broken soil to produce a crop. Broken clouds to give rain. Broken grain to give bread. And broken bread to give strength. God uses broken things.
Amen.
Through David's broken heart, I'll tell you what David found. David found a blessed heart that he's never experienced before in his life.
That's right.
He knew God deeper in a way he'd never known. I wonder this morning, what is our testimony of David? I remember several older things God put in my life. Along the way, Brother Adam, I wouldn't have handled it as graceful. I wouldn't have handled it as graceful as their families have handled it. There were things that were said about them, things that were done. And Brother Tony, I'll be honest with you, it's amazing that they handled it the way that they handled it. And it was certainly the only God's amazing grace that got them through it. But our generation, this is what bothers me. There's people my age, even older and younger, that when the littlest wave comes rocking up against their head, they're done.
Yeah.
They're done. I don't want to quit. I want to stand close to the foundation. And I want Brother Adam to lead me to that rock. Higher than I.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, and for your mercy. Father, I pray, Lord, that you would have your will in the way and the purpose of the service. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Father, for nobody else. Thank you for speaking to my heart. God, will you help me be faithful? Help me, Father, stand firm upon you in a rocky generation, in a shallow and in a shaky generation, Lord, I pray. God, that we stand firm, we go against the current for this world. God, we make it happen. God, we bring the smile to your face, knowing that God, we've just done our best to be what you have us to be. Father, I pray that you strengthen my home, strengthen my life, and strengthen my peace. Lord, may my testimony, Father, God, be one that speaks of you and only you. God, I love and I'm thankful for your goodness, for your grace, for your love, and your kindness upon our lives. God, God help us, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.